Now, along with the return of the swallow and long warm evenings, nothing spells the start of summer quite like the emergence of our dragonflies and damselflies, shimmering and iridescent as they skim and dance over ponds and lakes. Some of Ireland's species of dragonfly include the golden-ringed dragonfly, the emperor, the downy emerald, and the hairy dragonfly. They're stunning to look at, but what do we actually know about dragonflies and damselflies? Are their numbers up or down? And how important are they to our ecosystem? Well, to find out more, the National Biodiversity Data Centre, along with the Centre for Environmental Data and Recording for Northern Ireland, recently launched an all-Ireland survey of dragonflies and damselflies as part of a new citizen science project. It's the first such survey in almost 20 years. It's being run by Dave Wall from the Biodiversity Data Centre, and he joins us now from our Belfast studio to tell us all about it. Dave, let's start at the very beginning. What is the difference between a damselfly and a dragonfly, please?
Well, damselflies and dragonflies, they're part of the same group, the Odonata, but initially, when you look at them, they're quite similar, but there are subtle differences, and some not so subtle differences tell the two groups apart.
Mm-hmm.
So dragonflies, if you look at their head, you'll notice that the head is mostly eyes, and those eyes are very close together, almost touching. Whereas in the damselflies, the eyes are widely separated, with usually quite a nice clear gap between them. In dragonflies, you're looking at a shorter, stockier, kind of bulkier fly, whereas for damselflies, they're more like needles. They're thin and sharp, almost twig-like. But dragonflies and damselflies have two sets of wings, but in the dragonflies, you notice that the hind wings are stubbier and broader,
mm-hmm.
Whereas in the damselflies, both sets of wings are pretty much identical. And finally, possibly one of the most useful characteristics is when they're at rest. You'll notice that dragonflies rest with their wings spread open, like a butterfly sometimes does with his wings out to the side or slightly forwards, whereas in damselflies, the wings tend to be lying back along the body or slightly open but still backwards along the body.
Why are they doing that? Why have they got the wings spread open?
You'd have to ask that. I'm not quite sure. It's just a feature of the way they rest.
It's
a characteristic feature
that
helps separate the two groups.
Getting solar powered up for your next flight or anything, no?
Well, I mean, they do very much rely on heat to get going in the mornings. That's why there's no point going out on a cold day when it's mm-hmm. 10 degrees looking for dragonflies and damselflies. You won't see them. Generally, we suggest that you get out when the temperatures are 15 degrees or more, because they need that heat in their bodies before they have the energy to get up and fly around.
Absolutely, and that's what this survey is all about. So just explain a little bit about the project, because I know Richard's waiting at the door there. He has lots of questions for you, but a little bit about the project first.
So some time ago, between 2000 and 2003, there was what was the first Dragonfly Ireland survey. And that survey was run really by the Ulster Museum, but it was an all-Ireland survey. And it was the first really major attempt at mapping our distribution of dragonfly and damselfly species. By 2024, which is when our next project proposes to wind up, it'll have been 20 years since that first atlas was done. And in those 20 years, really what we want to know is what's happened to those dragonfly, damselfly species? Have some species declined? Have others increased? Overall, how are dragonflies and damselflies doing? We're also interested in looking at the links between dragonflies, damselflies, and freshwater habitats, not just the freshwater quality, but also the bankside habitat and vegetation, and examining those kind of interrelationships.
And how do you think they are doing?
That's a very good question. I mean, one suspects, given the recent news of declines in pollinator mm-hmm. species and declines in butterflies, that the news may not be good, but the simple answer is we don't know. There has been a certain level of ongoing recording since the first Dragonfly Ireland survey, but it's been at a fairly low level, so we need a lot more data to be able to give a good assessment of what changes have happened.
And this is a 32-county project. Is that unusual?
It's not that unusual. As I say, the first survey was an all-Ireland survey. We've kind of swapped roles in this, in that the Biodiversity Data Centre, who's instigating this survey, but CEDAR, the Centre for Environmental Data and Recording in the north of Ireland, have jumped on board. And again, we're going to do an all-Ireland survey.
Richard,
This is one of the great divisions that you sometimes find in animal groups. If you were looking at, say, hoofed animals, you would find they divide into two groups, those with even numbers of toes and those with odd numbers of toes. And the reason has to do with their digestive systems. They're radically different and two lines developed. Now, here you have the damselflies and the dragonflies, quite radically different. What is driving that great difference? Do the eyes have it? After all, the eyes are different. Do the eyes, is it something to do with how they predate or on their prey or whatever? Is there a theory as to why such a radical division should have occurred?
There may be a theory. I'm not necessarily the best person to ask about it. I mean, the history of dragonflies is quite interesting. These are an extremely ancient group. You have to go back to 350 million years ago. That's long before the dinosaurs walked the earth, to find the dragonfly ancestors. Now, in those days, if you were out and about by a riverbank, you might encounter a dragonfly ancestor that had a wingspan of 2.5 feet, which would be quite something to encounter these days. So they're an extremely ancient group. Modern dragonflies and damselflies appeared on the scene about 200 million years ago, and they've been evolving ever since. I mean, in terms of behaviour, etc., they do have differences. You notice that dragonflies certainly are much stronger flyers, so you tend to find them much further away from water. They'll go and hunt around fields and woodlands, etc., whereas damselflies are weaker flyers, and they'll tend to stick closer to the water. So there's a kind of a division of habitat in those terms.
Derek's question is interesting because he says, why did they spread the wings out? It seems to me that dragonflies are brazen. They flaunt themselves. It's easy to see them. You know, they're very conspicuous out there, whereas the damsels tend to sort of hide away a bit. Why are they so flamboyant, these dragonflies? Surely that's a very high-risk strategy, going around showing off the way they do, the mating and
Well, part of it is territoriality. A lot of dragonfly species, the males are extremely territorial, and it's the males that really have the really bright, really vivid colours. And there's the ones you'll see by the riverbank. And basically, they're going up around the riverbank, up and down the riverbank, up along the pond side, and they're chasing off competition. They're chasing off the other males. So they're quite aggressive in chasing off the opposition, and they are using those colours to display their bravado, I suppose.
Are we looking at a peripheral creature here? If you take swifts, we're at the very top of the swifts, the highest, furthest northern swifts in the world. We're kind of very peripheral to the world of swifts. Now, of the 5,000 damsels...
They still come here, Richard.
They still come here, but they're sort of on the margin, shall we say. Well, now, if you take the damselflies, and there's about 5,000 damsels and dragonflies, are they really a kind of tropical or subtropical species of which we're only getting the periphery? Are we kind of marginal for them too?
They are. I mean, they're extremely sensitive to climate. They like heat. They are a tropical or subtropical group in general, and their highest biodiversity is in tropical areas. We have 33 species recorded in the Biodiversity Data Centre database. We really have 24 species that you could consider resident to Ireland. So we really have quite a small population or quite a small diversity of species here in Ireland.
Now, I know this survey is going to last for 5 years, isn't that correct?
5 years, yes, 2019 to 2024. That's really to give us enough time to collect sufficient data to have a really good assessment of what their current distribution is.
So plenty of time for people to get involved. So how do they get involved?
Well, basically, everything you need to know is online. So if you go to biodiversityireland.ie and you scroll down the page just a little bit, you'll see a tab there that says Dragonfly Ireland. You click on that tab, it'll describe the various ways you can get involved. So we've designed it so that everyone can get involved, because some people would be more expert at identification than others. Some people have more time than others. So our basic entry-level survey is Dragonfly Spotter, and what we're really looking for there is people to report their casual sightings. So you're out for a walk, or you're out by the river, or you're out in a boat on the river, and you see a dragonfly and damselfly. If you can get a picture, which most people can now, because luckily, and the big difference since the first Dragonfly Ireland survey is most people now have smartphones and cameras in their pockets, so they're ready to grab a picture. If you can get a picture, take that picture, submit the data online to us, just where you took it, what date you took it, who you are, and that's a record for us. And that will help with our distribution, our understanding of distribution. We also have two levels of survey for those who want to get a bit more involved. those surveys ask people to go out to specific sites and survey those sites twice to cover the entire flight period of all the Irish species. So we'll have one survey in July on into August and even early September. We're asking people basically to either do a spot count if it's a small water body or do a transect count along by the water, generally staying close to the edge of the water so you get those males, which are the easier ones to identify. Record what you see, record numbers, and also we've got a quick snapshot survey of habitat because that's another thing we're interested in. We want to know how these freshwater habitats are doing. So we've got a kind of a quick assessment of habitat that will link in with that dragonfly and damselfly data.
Well, it's very straightforward and it's for everybody. And if you have time on your hands, nothing to do, maybe you're retired, maybe you've got grandchildren, maybe you've got your own children, maybe you want to go for a walk, you're interested in science but you never studied it, you can be a citizen scientist by taking part in this survey. Dave, thank you very much indeed. Again, more details can be found on our website, which is rte.ie/Mooney. That's all we have time for this week. My thanks to producer Anna Leddy and John Riley, our researcher. Until next week, goodbye.
And Mooney Goes Wild was presented by Derek Mooney.